I don't think I ever knew a person born in 1870. I could vaguely remember that it was supposed to be a time between plantation songs and hot jazz, but I couldn't remember much else. I paged through some books and discovered that Marcel Proust was still in his mother's womb. Gandhi was an infant, Toulouse-Lautrec was 6, and Sigmund Freud was at the height of his puberty. Pius IX was Pope. France mourned the loss of Hector Berlioz and Alexander Dumas. An English empire ruled by Victoria said farewell to Charles Dickens. In the United 37 states, Ulysses S. Grant was president. Edison was inventing the ticker tape machine. And the 15th Amendment to the Constitution granted voting rights to men of any race. None of this helped. When I first saw the splotch of orange paint, I wondered how my neighbor felt. If, indeed, my neighbor knew. The birds greeted us both every morning, every season, although I was separated from their songs by a shield of glass. We shared their music. We shared the sun at dawn, the white blindness of winter ice, and the purposeful rumble of the daily freight trains. I wondered if it watched more intensely now. We both waited. This morning, an orange truck, the color of that paint splotch, pulled up. I ran for my camera, remembering that I had never caught even the two-dimensional grandeur of my friend Olmus Americana on film. The lens couldn't capture it. A sleek hydraulic lift carried a man to the top. First, small branches fell, then larger ones were hooked, cut, and hoisted down. I recalled the song of the vireo, which lived in that tree for 3 summers, before the leaves, thinned out from disease, permitted me to see its ruby eye. The men started a chainsaw, one with a huge bar. It bit into the base of the elm, back a year, then 10, then 50. The roar of the saw, the pounding of sledges, and the slam of a bucket loader spoke its exequy. I sub-vocalized a bit of Dylan Thomas as the wheels of the bucket loader slid on the melting ice, and the elm threatened to slip backwards, carrying with it the men and their machines. But almost as if recalling the quiet demeanor of its majesty, it agreed to kneel. Even as a heap of wood, it stood taller than any man there. I had watched from the distance, but as the others retreated in a blunder of metal and smoke, I moved close, wondering how I could mourn this one tree after incinerating in my stove so many I had not known. I counted each ring of its life, straining to see the patterns against fresh saw cuts. As I counted each ring, my mind passed into childhood, then infancy, then became part of a collective metaphysical blur of history. This tree was born 113 years ago. I will use this elm for firewood, I thought. The white, even heat of elm, with its sour smell, will become a sacred rite next winter. I walked home. As I looked out once again from my window into the darkening day, I heard the birds again, the winter birds. Though now much closer to the melting earth, the chickadees and grosbeaks and jays still sang from its branches. In Roxbury, Vermont, this is Dennis Bathory Kitts.